Because last week, we started this whole thing on team, right? We started talking about this whole idea of team and what it means to be involved in a team and how the team that you're on will either help you or hinder you. The team that you choose to be on will either help you or hinder you, because we all have different talents, we all have different abilities, we all have different giftings. And so the team that we are on, we got to realize that, guess what? We can't do this life alone. No matter who you are, no matter what you got going on, you can't do this life alone. It's a lot like a quarterback trying to pass an awesome touchdown, but if he doesn't have a receiver there, it's just going to go to no one. Right? So you need a team. Likewise, we watched that a cappella group last week, sometimes, you know, the bass guy is like boom, 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 boom. And if you don't have your team there, you look like a weirdo just going boom, 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 boom. Right? And so it's one of those things that when you get a team together, that completes you and you actually can achieve some incredible things. See, we talked about last week, God isn't about just adding. He's about multiplication. He's not about, you know, 3 plus 5 equals 8. He says, no, 3 times 5 equals 15. He's not about 5 plus 5 equals 10. He's, no, 5 times 5 is 25. And so it's this whole idea that when you are a part of a team, you can do some incredible things. And we talked about last week, the team of we is always greater than the team of me. There's a lot of chairs you could have chosen from, but he wants to sit right next to Austin. So, the team of we is always greater than the team of me. Think about any dream that you want to accomplish. Any dream. You cannot do it on your own. You cannot do it by yourself. You have to have a team. And that's why we is greater than me. And in order to do that, you have to be committed. Right? That was our take home last week, is you got to be committed, not just to being a part of a team, but to being a part of a team and saying, I want to see your dreams fulfilled. I want to see your goals reached. I want to be able to see you do incredible things in your life, because the team is not just about you. It's not about you reaching your goal, you doing your dream. It's about seeing others and how you can help others achieve their dreams and their goals. And it's about being committed to being, to going after God the best way you know how. And commit to showing up on Wednesdays and being a part of this group, as well as what we're going to do in the next few weeks and months, is being a part of these small groups that we're going to break off into and saying, you know what, I'm committed to being a part of a team because I know that we is greater than me. The whole thing is we need to look past ourselves, because there are people in our schools, there's people in our work, there's family members that need us to be all that God created us to be. They need to see God shine through us. And we can only do that to the fullest extent when we're connected to a team. You know, earlier today, some of you might have seen in the news, and this hits home a little bit, but earlier today down in Pittsburgh, there was a school stabbing. And one of these, a kid comes through and stabbed 20 people, 19 students and an adult. And what was crazy about it is you just think through, stuff like that happens, right? Stuff like that you don't see coming. And all of a sudden, the reality is we are surrounded by people that need us to be everything that God created us to be, because they need to see God's light shine through us. Because messed up stuff like that happens. Man, it surrounds us. And yet people question, don't understand. And God's saying, man, I have the answer. I want you to shine my light. I want you to be all that I created you to be. So tonight, I want to ask you a question, and we'll start off this way. Is where do you plan on being, or do you even plan on living in the next 2 years? 2 years from now, do you plan on being alive? Anyone plan on being alive in 2 years? Wow, I'm really sorry. Some of you guys don't even think you're going to make it 2 years. I don't know what you guys got. I don't want to catch it, though. Right? How many, all right, so if you plan on living for at least the next 2 years, how many of you guys plan on having friends or some sort of relationships that go past the, hey, in the hallway, like when you see somebody and you almost bump into them, hey, how's it going? Right? You want to have a relationship past that, yeah? Anybody? Couple people? Okay, so if you, on that, how many of you plan on growing in the next 2 years, growing physically? Some of you guys growing physically, or you, Austin, you might stay that short? For the rest of your life? No, you could grow. I kept growing until I was 24. You pray that you grow? Okay. Well, how many of you guys want to grow mentally? Like, if you're an eighth grader, you don't want to be a sophomore with an eighth grader's mind. Like, you want to be smarter than an eighth grader, right? Or, you don't want to be a senior with a sophomore's mind. You want to be smarter than a sophomore, right? So you hope you grow mentally. And some of you guys, now we got the churchy answer of you want to grow spiritually. And honestly, man, I don't want to be, yes, I don't want to be like the same place in my relationship with God 2 years from now that I am today. That would be like, man, that kind of stinks. You know, I didn't really further my relationship with God at all, right? And right now, I'm totally different than where I was 2 years ago. And so this whole idea is thinking ahead. And then how many of you want to feel accepted? You want to be liked? You want to, when all is said and done, you just want to simply enjoy life. Like, you want to feel like, man, my life is awesome, right? In 2 years, throughout the next 2 years, you want to be like, man, I really like life. Like, I feel accepted. I got some friends. I feel, you know, like people like me. Like, I add value to life. I'm not just taking up space. Anybody? Anybody at all? A couple people. Okay. Some of you guys are like, how many times is he going to ask this question? I'm tired of raising my hand, right? Okay, you just keep your hand up the entire service, and that'll just be good. Just keep it up. I see that hand. All right, so here's the next churchy question. Is how many of you guys want to influence somebody for Jesus in the next 2 years? You actually want to be able to say, you know what? Somehow they saw Jesus in my life. Somehow they actually became closer to God in my life. Somehow they saw God's love represented in me. Because if you think about it, if you say, yeah, I love Jesus, I follow after God. You could stick that hand down now. I follow after God and all that. Because if you say all that, then Matthew, the last words that Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 28, it says what? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. See, if we say that we love God and that we're all about Jesus, and yeah, woohoo, right? Then he said, the last thing he said to his team, right? Jesus had a team. The last thing he said to his team was to go out and make disciples. Go out and influence people for me. So we're called to be influencers. We're called to influence other people. And we're actually created to make God's name known and help others have a relationship with him. That's what we're created to do. But here's the thing. You guys might have a lot of plans, right? Some of you, who plans on not getting grounded, like, in the next 2 years, or getting a job and not getting fired? That's not possible. It is possible, Austin. It is possible not to get grounded, right? So you guys have a lot of plans. You have a lot of different dreams and a lot of goals. Short term, just 2 years from now. And the question is, how do you plan on achieving any of that? How do you plan on achieving having friends? How do you plan on living? How do you plan on influencing people for Christ? How do you plan on being happy and loving everything about your life? Because often we have, you know, a lot of these plans and we kind of just go along and see what happens. And we're more about reacting to what's happening to us than actually being proactive about it. And when people say, you know, how do you plan on reaching people, influencing people for Jesus? You're like, well, I wear this shirt that says Jesus is my homeboy. He's like, hey, right? Or, you know, I got this cross necklace, or I got my cross earrings, or, you know, I have like a Bible on a verse on my on the back of my cleat or something. I see a lot of people that actually did that. They put their little Bible verses on the back of their cleats or on their track shoes and stuff like that. Or you might say, well, I'm going to invite somebody every Wednesday. And see, those are all good plans, but they all seem to fall short in one way or the other. They all seem to fall short. They all come up short of actually accomplishing those goals, right? We, at the beginning of the year, put over 80 names on that wall, several of you wrote down, and said, I want to see these people actually come to know Jesus in some way, shape, or form. I want to pray for them. I want to serve them. I want to go after them. I want to see Jesus influence their life. And so how are we planning on doing that? So what if I tell you that by being intentional about this next process that we're going to start tonight of getting into huddles about this, having this small group mindset, what if I told you that this next process will not only help you have friends that are past the, hi, how's it going? Oh, sorry, didn't mean to get in your way. Like past the hi in the hallway. It actually will help you achieve your goals whether it's not being grounded, whether it's influencing people for Jesus, whether it's to feel accepted, whether it's to feel fulfilled in life, all by being intentional about being a part of this next process. And this is why I can say that. And this is the theme that I want to put. If you catch nothing else tonight, I want you to catch this. Alone, we can go fast. But together, we can go far. Alone, we can go fast, but together we go far. If you're anything like me, do I have any perfectionists? Anyone perfectionist in the group? Okay, so I'm a perfectionist somewhat. I'm a horrible perfectionist because I stink at a lot of things. But when it comes to like people doing tasks, I like start to do different things. And if somebody's like, hey, why don't you teach so-and-so to help? It's like, I'd rather just do it myself because I'll get it done a lot faster than if I like come alongside. Okay, this is how you do it. This is how you fold the shirt, right? And you put it like that, right? I'd rather just do it myself and I could get it done a lot faster. But in the long run, I'll burn out. And I won't be able to make it, right? And so the thing is, alone we go fast, but together we go far. And alone we can do a lot of good things by ourselves. We can talk to a lot of great people, but eventually that will all burn out. How many of you guys seen the Canadian geese that are like all over the place right now? And you guys, if you haven't seen any of them, you can walk out the door and they're like there, right? Our apartment is overrun with them. There's poop everywhere. The other day I was teaching Obadiah how to chase the geese, which Lauren was really upset because I would like pick him up. I'm like, one, two, and I just start running after them. They're like, mark, 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 right? And so Lauren was like, what if he does that by himself? Oh, he wouldn't do that. But anyway, so the thing about Canadian geese, right? Anyone know what's cool about Canadian geese? They are Canadian, but they also fly in this V shape, right? Ever see the flying V, right? The flying V that's over and you're like, oh no, don't poop on me, right? So they fly in this flying V shape. And the cool thing, there's been tons of studies about why they fly in that V. There's been tons of years and years of study about why they actually fly in the V. And here's a couple of the conclusions they come up with. And I think they relate to our whole thing of being a part of a team and the importance of being on a team. One of the reasons that they say they fly in a V like that is because to predators, they're less susceptible to looking like they're just by themselves. And so predators won't really attack them as much because they're actually in a group. And how many of you guys know that often when you're in a group, you're not going to get bullied as much as you would by yourself? If you got your homeboys or homegirls with you, it's not going to be very likely that a group is going to, or somebody is going to come up and try to attack you because they see, oh, you're with a group. The other reason why, another reason they say is because there's like this wind wall, and when they cut through, it's almost like an arrow, and so it's able to pierce through some of that stuff, and so it gets them through a lot easier than if they just did it by themselves. But the third reason, and this is the coolest reason to me, is that when they fly in that V formation, I know this is a lot about geese, but it's all about the birds. Bird, 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 bird. All right, so when they fly in that V formation, they actually can fly 70% farther than they could ever do it by themselves. They can fly 70% farther in that V formation in a team than they could ever do by themselves. And that just is crazy to me. And you think about why can they do that? We talked a little bit about it last week. It's that word synergy. Synergy. Synergy is the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And it's this whole idea that when you're a part of a team, that we is greater than me. That when you're a part of a team, you can do something greater than what you could just only do by yourself. And one of the biggest reasons, and this is what's cool, one of the biggest reasons that they can fly 70% farther, see, that's crazy to me. You think about it, 70% farther. If it's 100%, you can only do 30%. then if you're a part of that team, you can go the full 70% farther than that. The biggest reason they could do that is because if you know anything about, I'm going to teach you an awesome lesson. I hope you're ready for this. When birds fly, everyone just do a wing for me. Can we just do the wings, angels in the outfield right here? That is awesome. All right. So when you do the wings, when birds fly, they're pushing air down, right? But it's not like air just goes down and stays down. When they push the air down, it goes down and then it comes back up. And so when they push the air down, it goes down and then it comes back up behind them. And so when they're actually flying in that V formation, they've set themselves up to when the bird in front of them pushes down, the air goes down and then it pushes back up and it actually lifts the wings of the bird behind it. And then that bird pushes down and the air goes down and it lifts the wings of the bird behind it. And then that bird goes down, and all of a sudden, it decreases the workload because the bird in front of me is giving me the airlift that I need, so all I got to do is push it down. And that's how they get so much farther. And so my question is, in relationship to our team, who are you bringing lift to? Who are you bringing lift to? Who are you coming alongside and saying, I want to see your dreams accomplished. I want to see your brother or your sister come to know Jesus. I want to see your parents get back together. I want to see your friends come to know Christ. I want to see your school get radically saved for Jesus. I want to see your boss and your cousins and your coworkers and the people that you work with or make pizzas with or flip burgers with. I want to see them come to know Jesus. Who are you bringing lift to? See, if you're going to get to where you were created to go, you can't do it alone. You can only go 30% of the way. But when you're connected to a team that has the same vision and the same mindset and says, man, I want to help you get there too, then all of a sudden everyone's looking out for each other and they're saying, let's go, let's get there together. Let's go after God together. See, Jesus understood this concept of a team. If you think about it, the 12 disciples that he had, he wouldn't have been able to accomplish much if he didn't have that 12 disciples. Because who would he have he raised from the dead? Who would he have talked to after he raised from the dead? Like, he shows, he dies, raises from the dead. And he's like, all right, go out and make disciples. Cricket, 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 cricket. Oh, man, I didn't get a team together to go do that, right? Who would he have talked to if those disciples weren't there? Who would he have said, hey, go out and send out and impact the world over for me? Who would he have done that? He realized the power of a team, that he couldn't accomplish this vision just by himself, but he said, you know what, I'm creating a team because there is power when people come together in a team and that there is power that happens. And so I'm going to create this team. And if you think about this team, it's kind of a team of misfits, right? Often we want to be we think that, all right, if we're going to go someplace, we got to get like the top elite geese to fly with us, like the ones that have been working out all season, the ones that are pumping all the iron, right? That sounds more like a crow than a goose, but we want those buff geese, right? And so the thing is, you think about that, man, I want the best people on my team, right? When you play kickball, you want the best people on your team. But these guys were like the last picked. Like, has anyone ever been last picked before? Man, I feel like that's my entire life. I feel like I'm always last picked for something. It's ridiculous. But see, what's crazy about the disciples is they weren't even last picked. Like, it was like they got down to the end of the line, and they're like, all right, we'll take him. The rest of you, why don't you just go out on the jungle gym and play? We're good. Like, they didn't even get picked for any team. Like, they got cut completely. And it's like, man, you didn't even get picked for a team? I mean, that's how misfits they were. See, Jesus put together an unlikely team. It was a team that didn't have it all together. Because back in the day, Jewish boys, like, they were raised to know all this knowledge and know all this stuff. And then a rabbi would come along and kind of talk to them and question them and stuff. And if they knew the right stuff and they looked like they had it all together, the rabbi, this teacher guy, would say, hey, you look like you got it all together. Why don't you come follow me? And I will teach you, and you'll be trained under me. But these disciples, no one did that to. No one, because they weren't good enough, right? They didn't have it all together. They were kind of misfits. They were kind of the rejects, right? And so you see, like, they were fishermen, just doing occupations. They're like, well, I'm not going to go off to Harvard now with the rabbi, so I'm just going to go, I guess, to just go work, you know, over here, right, all by myself. I can imagine Peter in the nets or in the boat just throwing his nets. I don't want to be all by myself, right? As he's doing this whole thing. Thank you for the pity laugh. But it's this whole idea that they weren't even picked for that team. They're fishermen, they're young guys, they're rebellious troublemakers, they're greedy, they're doubters that questioned authority, they're tattletales. Anyone ever know any tattletales, right? There's even some loners there that they were technically called to the rest of the community, that they were actually called less than human. It was a tax collector named Matthew, and the tax collecting profession was looked at as being less than human. If you're a tax collector, you're even less than human. You're a dog. I mean, you were just pathetic. We didn't want anything to do with you. They were looked at and scorned upon, and this is the team that Jesus picked, that Jesus had. I mean, if they were geese, I don't even know if they could spell V, let alone try to, like, fly in one. Like, they'd be like, right? They wouldn't even know what to do. But the thing is, what's crazy about this team is 11 of them took the good news about Jesus, and 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. 11 of them took the good news and said, you know what, I understand this, and I want to spread it to everyone that I know. And all of a sudden, millions and billions of people are talking about it today because 11 of them, a small group, a team, said, you know what? Let's have the same vision. Let's go after it. I want to see you accomplish your goal because I know that God has placed me here for a reason. He's placed me here to be his love extended, right? You think about it, 12 or 10 out of those 12 disciples were martyred. They believed so much in their faith that they died for it. One of them, the one that died from old age, was John, and he died being imprisoned. Like, so yeah, he didn't die a gruesome death, but he was imprisoned for a long time in his life as well. And then Judas actually hung himself and committed suicide. But it was one of these things that how did this team of misfits do something so radical? How did this team of rejects all of a sudden become this ultimate Cinderella team and, like, go and change history forever by spreading God's word, by continuing on what Jesus said, by saying, you know what, Jesus, your goal is to change the world. We're going to help you do that. How did they do that? Because they understood that by themselves they weren't going to do much. Because alone we can go fast, but together we can go far. We can impact the world 2,000 years from now when we come together and say, you know what, let's do this as a team. Luke 9, verse 1 and 2, this is where Jesus called them, and this is where it all began, is Jesus said, you know what, there's something powerful in a team. And he said, he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Jesus understood the power of team. He said, man, you guys don't understand. When you come together, you guys can do incredible things. And so he sent them out so that they could further the kingdom because they understood that, hey, it's not just about me. It's about we and what we can do together. Later on in that chapter in verse 18 through 20, it says, one day Jesus was alone praying. He came over to his disciples and asked them, who do people say that I am? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say you are one of the other ancient prophets risen from the dead. Then he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Peter replied, you are the Messiah sent from God. See, Jesus' team got it. They understood who they were with. They understood what was going on. They understood that, hey, it's not about just me, it's about being together, and it's about realizing that, guess what? That we serve God and we're going after God together. They had the same vision, they had the same mindset, and they wanted to strive after the same thing. That's why even later, when Paul set up so many different churches all over the place, he said this to these little small groups. He said in Hebrews 10, verse 25, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. See, there is power in broken misfits that meet together. man, don't neglect coming together, right? If we're going to see this team of we be greater than me, we have to be committed to staying connected to one another. To saying, you know what, I got too much homework to do on a Wednesday night. I don't know if I can do this. You know, my favorite TV show is on Wednesday night. I can't miss this again. No, you're going to say, you know what, this is a priority because I know that if I don't show up, that I'm not going to be a part of that team. And I know that people need me in that team. And I want people to achieve their dreams. If they're going to achieve their dreams, I need to be a part of that team because that is how God set up the system. I need to be there, not for myself, not to hear the music or hear Pastor Donnie or make fun of him or laugh at his silly, awesome jokes, right? Because they're awesome and silly. But I'm going to be there because I know that people, the person sitting next to me, needs me. They need me to accomplish their goals and their dreams. And I want to be there so that they can accomplish that. Because here's the thing. God moves through groups to impact individuals. Now that'll preach, right? God moves through groups to impact individuals. When you come together, no matter what kind of misfit team you think you're a part of, all of a sudden God moves through that group to impact you. Because alone we go fast, but together we go far. Over the next several weeks and months, we're going to be developing more of this team culture and what this looks like, and we're going to be kind of shaping it, right? Because we've been doing Next Step huddles, and I've seen the power that happens in that, and I've seen you guys really come together in that. And so what we're going to do is we're actually going to extend the time of Next Step huddles instead of just having like 5 minutes at the end and saying, hey, here's some questions, and try to get through them in 5 minutes. We're actually going to extend that time, and we're going to have some set questions that you'll be able to kind of dive into and go over. As topics of what we've been talking about. And then not only that, we're also going to separate you guys out into separate groups. You guys are already meeting in almost the same group. We're just going to kind of put words to that now, and we're going to keep those same groups. And so over the next few weeks, you're going to be kept in the same group that you're going to be placed in. As a way of growing together to say, you know what, I want to know what your dream is and so that I can come alongside of you, so that I can pray for you. And then not only that, but we're also going to put a sponsor in each one of the groups. You're saying, oh, sponsor, I'm not going to talk if a sponsor's there. I don't want to hear that. Let me tell you something. All of the sponsors that are here, they're not here because they get paid to be here. They're not here because they think that you guys are like the coolest and they want to be cool like you. They're here because they love you. That's why they're here. They're here because they know that, oh, beyond a shadow of doubt, God has some incredible plans for your life, and they want to do anything possible to see you achieve your dreams and see you achieve everything that God created you to do. They're not here so that they can feel cool themselves. They're here because they want to see you. They already understand this concept, that they know that they need to be here so that you can achieve those dreams. They're praying for you. They're constantly going after you and thinking about you. And so I want to, I think they have so much great, amazing insight. And so I want to put them and have an opportunity for them to actually share and speak into your life on a personal level. Now, some of you guys are going to be like, I don't want to share. I'm lazy. I'm quiet. I don't like people here. No one knows me. I'm not going to talk or anything like that. And that's cool if that's your decision, but let me just tell you this. This is my promise to you because this is God's promise to us. That if you would give yourself wholeheartedly to this system of sharing, of coming together in this team, of being committed to one another, if you would give yourself wholeheartedly to this, that there are going to be some incredible things that come out of it. God is going to work in you, and he's going to work through you to do some incredible things. You're going to realize that all of a sudden you have some friends with some deep connections. You're going to have people that say, you know what, I don't just want you to, pray for me, but I want you to see your friends come to know Jesus, and I want to help you. Hey, what if we come together? What if, your friends came and we just went and hung out at McDonald's or something, and all of a sudden you're going to start to build this bond, and all of a sudden it's going to be this amazing thing of when you give yourself wholeheartedly to this thing of saying, you know what, it's all about team. It's because I know that alone I can go fast, but together, if I give myself up to this and say, you know what, I'm going to be praying for you guys. I'm going to do everything in my power to see your dreams come true, to see your goals in the next 2 years come true. When you start to do that, radical things are going to start happening. Because it's not about just you. Donnie, you don't know. I keep inviting my friends, and my friends keep saying, no, I don't want to come. That's great, but you can only do so much. What if you had a team that was believing with you and thinking with you and brainstorming and saying, hey, let's do this together. And it wasn't just you, but it was a group of you. It was a whole team that was going after it, because alone we can go fast. Together we go far. I want to close with this last verse. It's Acts 2, verse 42, 44, 46, and 47. It says, they devoted themselves, this being the small groups in the area, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. And check this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All of a sudden, when they started coming together with a common vision and common goal, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. He said, guess what? There is power in being involved in a team. There is power in what God is about to do in your life.